California looks to pass landmark legislation that would classify Uber and Lyft drivers as employees.
Analysts largely look at California as a bellwether for other states, particularly blue states.
And China's richest man, Jack Ma, steps down from Alibaba.
He's going to sort of pull a Bill Gates and be involved in charity work.
Plus, new clues about the single worst day on Earth. Hint, it has to do with the dinosaurs. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we look at the implications of legislation that's set to pass in California this week that would label drivers for the likes of Lyft and Uber employees instead of contractors, here's what you missed. On his 55th birthday, China's richest man, Jack Ma, is set to step down as executive chairman of Alibaba. He founded the nearly half-trillion-dollar online shopping site in his apartment 2 decades ago. Stu Wu has more from Alibaba's headquarters in Hangzhou.
Today is Jack Ma's last day as Alibaba's executive chairman. It's been a long transition out for him. He actually stepped down as CEO in 2013. He began his career as an English teacher, and he said that he's always wanted to go back to education. So he's going to sort of pull a Bill Gates and be involved in charity work surrounding education, as well as environmental issues and climate change.
But Mr. Ma is stepping down as Alibaba struggles to enter markets beyond China. Here's Stu again.
Alibaba is huge in China. It has 2/3 of the online shopping market here. But China's unique because consumers here want unique things, and Beijing protects big companies here from foreign competition. So we have a story in today's paper about how Alibaba went to Southeast Asia, places like Thailand and Vietnam, and they're trying to compete there, but they're having trouble adapting to local tastes. And on top of that, it's more of a free market system there. So they're facing really tough competition from local competitors.
An Alibaba spokesman said the company is committed to becoming a global player. And the FDA said Juul made unauthorized claims to children and adults that its e-cigarettes were safer than traditional cigarettes. In 2 letters sent to Juul yesterday, the FDA said it was troubled by Juul's marketing practices. It cited testimony from a July congressional hearing that described a presentation a Juul representative had made to children in a school in which the representative said Juul's e-cigarettes were, quote, totally safe. A Juul spokesperson said, "We are reviewing the letters and will fully cooperate." The FDA, FTC, and several states are currently investigating Juul's marketing practices. And Britain's parliament is now officially suspended until mid-October. The official term is prorogued, after Boris Johnson once more failed to get UK lawmakers to agree to hold a general election before Britain's scheduled departure from the EU at the end of October. Mr. Johnson vowed that the UK would leave by October 31st, whether or not there was a deal.
"This government will not delay Brexit any further. We will not allow the emphatic verdict of the referendum to be slowly suffocated by further calculated drift and paralysis. And while the opposition run from their duty to answer to those who put us here, they cannot hide forever. The moment will come."
The law that came into effect yesterday requires Mr. Johnson's government to ask the EU to delay Brexit until January 31st if there's no deal reached by October 19th. Now, our main story this morning. It has to do with legislation that looks set to pass in California this week. Like I mentioned earlier, it would label drivers for Lyft, Uber, and other car hailing apps as employees instead of contractors. Why does this matter? Well, it could upend the business models for these companies, and they've fought really hard against the passage of the law. Charlie Turner has been finding out more from Laura Foreman.
Laura, a big question about the gig economy is, should such workers be classified as independent workers or employees? A key bill involving that question is coming up for a vote in the California Senate this week. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so the bill is referred to as AB 5, and it's drawn a lot of national attention, even though it's at the statewide level. Analysts largely look at California as a bellwether for other states, particularly blue states, like New York, New Jersey, Washington, and Illinois. So I think sort of all eyes will be on the vote if it hopefully happens, which it sounds like it's expected to do before September 13th. The bill itself would be a reclassification of gig economy workers from independent contractors to employees, which of course would come with potentially shifts, but also benefits, guaranteed hours, and potentially collective bargaining.
And if Uber and Lyft and other companies like food delivery are forced to reclassify their workers as employees, would that mean higher costs for consumers?
So in New York, the minimum wage for ride-hailing companies was recently raised. And what's happened there, because we can use that potentially as a proxy, is that the costs have, in fact, been passed on to consumers. In New York, which is obviously, in Manhattan at least, fairly affluent, it hasn't really affected business to the degree that a lot of analysts had feared. However, as this happens more broadly, say in some of California's less affluent cities or perhaps in other states, you could see potentially being a negative drain on business as consumers don't want to pay the higher fees.
And at the national level, the Trump administration has weighed in on this topic as well?
Yeah, I believe in April, earlier this year, they classified workers finding clients through online platforms as contractors, basically saying that they're free to pursue external opportunities. The debate here, though, really is just how many of these workers are working full-time or at least 40 hours a week. It sounds like while Uber and Lyft and potentially other food delivery companies are saying that their workers have outside employment or they only work, you know, 20 or less hours a week, in reality, a lot of workers actually are wanting a lot more than that or are currently driving a lot more than that because those are the opportunities that they're sort of free to pursue right now. There's also an interesting question around this at-will employment, just because the ride-hailers specifically have a fair amount of sway in when the workers can drive and the fees they can charge. So it's not entirely independent.
Don't the ride-hailing companies say their workers do not want to be classified as employees?
So they do, and their argument there, which seems sound, is that the whole reason why drivers come to Uber and Lyft, and same thing with food delivery platforms, is that it is kind of like on their own terms. And of course, along with what I said earlier, along with classification as employees, these drivers would be subjected to shifts, some of them which might be like not super desirable, like a 5 a.m. shift, for example. Right now, they can kind of pick up and go when they want.
Does the law stand a good chance of passing?
It sounds like analysts largely expect for it to pass. We'll have to see. Although, I guess when I talked to both Uber and Lyft, they mentioned that even if it does pass, implementation won't happen for a while. They are planning on appealing it. So I wouldn't look for any immediate effects. The law would go into effect January 2020, but analysts largely expect no effects until 2021.
Would ride hailers seek an exemption to the gig economy law?
Yes, they are trying to seek an exemption. It's very interesting. So Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash have collectively pooled together $90 million toward an exemption, which would go on the November 2020 consumer ballot. And basically within that, it would avoid classifying these drivers as employees, but it would also offer them things like floors on minimum wage and benefits, healthcare benefits, and again, collective bargaining, which is different from unionizing, but some sort of collective bargaining power.
You can find our full coverage of the vote when it happens on WSJ.com. On to markets. U.S. stocks were mixed yesterday, and Asian markets followed suit. But elsewhere, some investors are shifting away from stocks and instead looking at corporate debt. Apple, John Deere, and Walt Disney all saw investor interest in their recent bond sales. Quentin Webb explains.
In a way, what's happening in the bond markets is a reflection of the wider economic picture. So there is some advice out there that investors should think about switching some of their portfolio from stocks into corporate bonds. And now, why would you do that? You would do that because perhaps you think the economy is slowing somewhat, and that means that corporate profits are going to grow at a slightly slower rate, and so stocks are maybe not going to perform that well. But you also don't think that things are going to go so badly that well-run companies with decent balance sheets are going to go bust. So in that position, you might want to buy something with a low investment grade credit rating, then you might get a reasonable return. And of course, remember with bonds, it's a different risk-reward trade-off from shares. It's mostly about downside protection. What you're looking for is you're hoping to get your interest payments along the way and then get the money back at the end. It's not about this unlimited upside that you might get if you buy into a very hot stock. That's why in times like this, maybe something safer and a bit less racy like a corporate bond makes a bit more sense.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin is scheduled to testify before the Senate Banking Committee starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. This all has to do with Treasury's efforts to overhaul mortgage finance giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. You might remember last week we discussed the Trump administration's report that called for the privatization of the two mortgage giants. That's a significant departure from previous administrations who'd called for their dissolution. 11 years ago, the government took over Fannie and Freddie during the depths of the financial crisis. Finally, scientists have unearthed clues about the worst day on Earth ever. Drilling into the seafloor off of Mexico, they extracted a unique geologic record of the day 65 million years ago that a city-sized asteroid smashed into the planet, wiping out the dinosaurs and three-quarters of all other life. Their sample records traces of, get this, explosive melting, massive earthquakes, tsunamis, landslides, and wildfires that resulted after the asteroid blasted a hole 100 miles wide and 12 miles deep. They also uncovered chemical evidence that the asteroid blew billions of tons of sulfur into the atmosphere, triggering a global winter. Just in case you're worried, NASA astronomers say there are currently no sizable asteroids known to be on a collision course with Earth. And that's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.